You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
I feel like I do try to keep my nerves in check because at the end of the day, if you have a horse that can do the job, you've done the training, you've checked all the boxes, you would hate for the mental side of things to get in your way. So like that we can control. So I really try my hardest to just keep a clear head and say, look, this is not the end of the world if something doesn't go well, but give it your best shot.
Welcome to the Practical Horseman Podcast, featuring conversations with respected riders, industry leaders, and horse care experts. The show is co-hosted by Practical Horseman editors, and our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. I'm Kathleen Landwehr, and this week's episode is with five-star eventer Sydney Elliott. Sydney and I spoke in mid-November as the competition season was winding down. After her CCI four-star long win at the event at Terra Nova in Yucca City, Florida. To give you a little more background on Sydney, she first competed at the five-star level at the Kentucky three-day event with Cisco A in 2016. 2 years later, the pair made their U.S. team debut at the Great Meadow International Nations Cup, helping the U.S. to a third-place finish. With her partner of nearly 10 years, QC Diamantaire, also known as Q, Sydney tallied numerous Nations Cup appearances, including earning team silver in Aachen, Germany in 2021 and in Boekelo, the Netherlands that same year. In 2023, Sydney and QC Diamantaire competed in the Pan American Games in Santiago, Chile, collecting the silver medal as part of the U.S. team. Last year, they were the traveling reserve pair for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. Since then, the duo has continued to have strong competition results. In addition to her success on the international stage, Sydney runs Elliott Eventing, a training business based in Benton, Louisiana, and Hoffman, North Carolina. In our discussion, Sydney talks about what she enjoys about working with horses, her training philosophy, how she handles her show nerves, and more. Before getting into the conversation with Sydney, I'd like to share a word from this episode's sponsor, US Rider. This Black Friday, give yourself the gift of peace of mind with US Rider, the roadside assistance program designed specifically for horse owners. Whether you're hauling to a show, trail ride, or simply heading home, U.S. Rider is there for you and your horses with 24/7 nationwide coverage, and right now is the perfect time to join. For a limited time, new members can save 20% on any U.S. Rider membership during our Black Friday promotion with code BFUSR25. Just go to usrider.org and enter code BFUSR25. Don't miss your chance to protect yourself, your passengers, and your horses with the only plan built for life on the road with horses. Visit usrider.org today and ride with confidence this Black Friday. Now, let's jump right into the conversation with Sydney, where she begins by talking about how she got her start in eventing.
So at first, when I started riding horses, I went into the hunters. I had a pony that would race around like NASCAR in the hunters, and I loved going fast. I loved it so much. And so I quickly just transitioned over to eventing. It just gave me a little more of an adrenaline rush. I actually had a clinic with Karen O'Connor, and gosh, it might have been 8, 9 years old. And I brought my little hunter pony, and she kind of opened my eyes up to the world of eventing, and I was hooked ever since.
That's fun to hear kind of how people got their start in equestrian sport and then gravitated towards whatever discipline.
Yes, absolutely.
And what do you think it is about horses that have kept you involved with the sport?
Oh gosh, I think for me, it's the therapy side that they offer. They're just so wonderful about grounding you and keeping you level from day to day, no matter really what happens. And it, but yeah, just keep, they just keep me grounded. And if you have some difficult areas in your life that are going on, they're always the constant. And it seems like if you need to go on a long hack and cry it out, and they're always there. So, so yeah, I mean, they just, they're wonderful animals.
Awesome. Yeah. They're so, so special and so therapeutic in a lot of ways, and just getting to spend time with them.
Yes.
Can you talk about some of the most important or influential horses in your life, who they are and what they're like and why they were, have been influential?
Yes. Well, I will start off going back to that, the Hunter pony that I had. She was so special to me and got really my feet into the eventing with Karen O'Connor. She was a 14 hand pony that was meant to do Western. And so we actually ended up campaigning her through the preliminary level, as a 14 one hand pony. And Karen actually ended up getting this horse for one of her grooms later in life when I outgrew her. So that was the first special horse that came into my life. And then I would say we had a horse named Pancho Villa that a lady named Michelle Taylor owned in Louisiana. That horse opened a lot of doors for me. That was my first advanced horse. And actually Boyd Martin bought that horse, and went on to the Pan Am Games with him. And it, you know, it's such a stepping stone, selling that horse, which I was devastated about, but opened up doors for my current owner. She bought a horse named Cisco A for me shortly after Pancho sold, who is the love of my life. I mean, I love my husband, but Cisco A, oh, he's amazing. And so we got him in 2013 from Germany, and he ran Kentucky, my first Kentucky, with me in 2016. It was hard to keep him sound, but since then he has taught so many girls and brought them up the levels after me. He's amazing. And he's still going at 20 years old. He still ran a modified this year with one of my working students. And then we have Q, who is, he's great. He is the horse of a lifetime. He is so wonderful and, quirky in basically the grooming and on the ground. He's so quirky, but anyone can ride him. So the owner comes out and she can ride him, and her daughter comes out. And so he's just such a wonderful horse, but he's taking me to Kentucky, Lemulin, Aachen twice, Santiago at the Pan Am Games, and Paris last year. So I don't know if we'll ever be able to have another horse like him.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's great.
Yep.
Several special horses thus far, you know, from the
yes.
pony early on to your kind of international campaigner now.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, you were on the silver medal winning team at the Pan American Games.
Yeah.
And then also the traveling reserve for the Paris Olympics. What were those experiences like being on a team and representing your country?
Oh my gosh. I love representing our country. And I love just the atmosphere of the team and the pressure cooker of it. I just find that, I don't know if I find it more rewarding than riding for yourself and individually. I just find my competitive side really comes out when I'm on a team. And it is just the best feeling. And like traveling with so much support makes all the difference between vets, farriers, physio, the coaches, all the USCF staff. I mean, everyone's just so amazing and they give it 110%. And so that always makes you feel good.
It's very cool. Yeah. It seems like a, you know, such a special experience and milestone too in your career to have, you know, achieved that thus far.
Yes.
And hopefully continue to future events as well. Can you talk about some of the most important wins or kind of results you've had in your career thus far?
Let's see. I would say In 2018, I ran a Nations Cup with Cisco A, and he was such a good cross-country horse, and he still is, but there weren't a ton of horses making time on cross-country, and no one knew who I was at that point. And so I was riding, you know, on the Nations Cup team there, and I had a double clear fast cross country. It was great. And that kind of got me on the radar of like, who is this girl? And then I had Q, running as well. And he was an individual, and no one knew I had that horse. And so that really was an influential moment of, you know, kind of getting me on the scene and opened a ton of doors for me. So yeah, that was a big one. Fast forward to 2021 when we went to Aachen and then later Buchlo, and he was the highest placed U.S. horse. So that always feels good. We've had a really good placing at Kentucky at the Four Short a couple years ago, top three. And those have been some of my most influential events that we've done. And even if you don't really do well at Aachen, that's always a big influential moment in your career, I think, when you make it to Aachen. So, yeah.
Yeah, some special results for sure. And, you know, again, big moments in your career. You know, in the sport, things don't always go as planned. And, you know, you maybe hope to have a win or a good result and things can go awry. How do you handle some of those disappointments?
Gosh, for me, I feel like I kind of let life direct me where I'm supposed to go. I really try to listen to moments where things don't go to plan. Things happen in life for a reason, so I have to try to remember that. Or if we have a performance that isn't quite as good as you would have hoped, I just go back to the drawing board and say, look, what am I doing wrong? What needs to change? Do I have the right horses for what I'm trying to get done? And just go back to the drawing board a little bit. And then sometimes, like last weekend, you're just like, don't overthink it and just move forward. You know, things happen and it's okay. And you just move on.
Part of the territory with horses and kind of something you have to learn to deal with and have the right mindset for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, do you get nervous when you compete? And if so, how do you handle your nerves?
Okay. So I have had some people tell me that I hardly have a pulse when I'm competing, which on the inside, I would say I do actually get nerves. I feel like we all get nerves. I guess it's just how you handle things. And, it's funny cause like going into Kentucky, it just manifests in everyone differently. Right. So I always have a feeling like some piece of tack is going to break. And I'm like, so that's my nerves coming out. Or I always think a horse is unsound, or, I take a lot of walks. Like before I get ready to leave the start box, I'll say, girls, I'm going to go take a walk around the barn, and then they know what that means. So, but for the most part, I feel like I do try to keep my nerves in check, because at the end of the day, if you have a horse that can do the job, you've done the training, you've checked all the boxes, you would hate for the mental side of things to get in your way. So like that we can control. So I really try my hardest to just keep a clear head and say, look, this is not the end of the world if something doesn't go well, you know, but give it your best shot.
No, absolutely. It's again, kind of having the right mindset and finding what works for you. Like you said, taking a walk around the barn.
Yeah. And I will say just over the years is having the right people around you, you know, whether it's the energy or just the support or whatever, it makes a huge difference who you have in your immediate circle at these events.
No, absolutely. Yeah, that support team of whomever, you know, grooms, family, friends, or your vets and whatnot is...
It's huge.
Yes, absolutely. And you kind of touched on this a little bit. I mean, it was related to nerves and going for a walk, but do you have a routine that you kind of follow at some of the bigger competitions?
Oh, gosh. I am a little superstitious. So I have... Like, it doesn't matter what event I'm doing. I have these pair of socks that have been with me for quite some time. And the two times that I have not worn them on cross country, I've had issues. And so that's one thing that I will never, I mean, they might be like tattered shreds of fabric. I will put those on under my boots. So that's one thing that I won't go to any event without having those socks. But other than that, I try to keep the routine pretty similar to what we have at home. I kind of run through our warm-ups and make sure I have all that lined out, everything from the nutritional side. I like to keep the schedule so similar to what they do day to day.
Sure. No, absolutely. Yeah, you know. Creatures of habit, and even if that's for us and wearing our lucky socks.
Which, yeah.
I love that. So thinking about training, how would you describe your training philosophy?
I would say for me, it's less is more. I want to always make sure the horses are happy. So if that means they stay and they're lifers with me, then that's one thing. Or if they're happy, you're doing a different discipline. I really like to see horses thrive. And that's not all, I'm not always the answer. So, and yeah, I like to have happy horses from day to day training, competing. I like to see them, you know, hauling, traveling abroad, everything should be just a happy horse overall. And even the training, you know, from lessons and the people we work with, it's, I know we have to put pressure on these top horses, but it's knowing when to take it off, when to apply it. And, just keep them enjoying their job. And every horse is a little bit different. So I'm not afraid to alter the program. It's not one size fits all. And we've had some really wonderful horses come through the program, but I mean, say whatever works for Q does not work for the next horse or the horse after that. So you just have to, it's not reinventing the wheel, but it's making, you know, modifications to it.
Right. Now that's so true. They're such individuals and finding, you know, what keeps them happy and healthy. And
yeah.
And you kind of mentioned a little bit like your teaching style. How would you describe that? Because you have students you work with.
I would say the feedback that I get is I'm very positive. So I'm a pretty positive coach. Again, it's like if you can keep a clear head, whether it's your students, your horses, you just, if anyone's emotional, horses or humans, you're not learning, you're not processing. And so I would like to say I try to keep just the pressure down and, you know, kind of sneak some things in with the students. Like if they're worried about something, just make it an easy, basic way, black and white, and make it easy for them. Because what we do is not rocket science.
That's a good point. Because, yeah, sometimes, you know, we care a lot and we can maybe get a little emotional. And it's taking the pressure off.
Yes.
Is there something that you kind of, with your students, you find that they commonly need to work on in your lessons, like that's a recurring kind of theme?
I would say, and not even just with my students, but just watching horses and just fellow competitors across the board in every single phase, it's the fitness side of things. I think from rider fitness to horse fitness, I think that is not focused on enough. And so I'm constantly, you know, what are we eating? What are we feeding our horses? I think that's a big thing to bring forward because it makes the training for us and them so much better if we are, you know, properly like fed well, and we're training enough, we're putting the minutes in into each horse every day. It makes such a difference.
No, absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, we focus on our horses a lot, but also need to focus on ourselves as riders and being athletes like them. And
yes, and it's just the strength, and it's hard. You know, we love to be in the barn, I think, you know, the majority of us, and we love to be around the horses, but we forget our body has to feel good too. We have to be fit. We need to see physios and, fuel our body correctly so we can be as good as our horses.
No, yeah, absolutely. Kind of another training related question. Do you have a favorite exercise that you like to set up in your arena? And if so, why is it your favorite? And can you describe it?
Oh, I think with the show jumping, I love setting low wide oxers. And I've got a couple horses right now that, like, I'll set up a grid, have a placing rail, low wide oxer, probably 21 feet, so it's kind of short, to another low wide oxer. They've got different issues. One's kind of slow behind, and then one doesn't really like to cover the distance across the back rail. So that's a fun one to set up. And I love doing any type of grid work, whether it's bounces. I can get really creative. And that's probably one of my favorite things to do through the winter. And it also, with the students, it makes them a little nervous to do all the different grids that we have set. At the end, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did so many bounces in a row. And it's a lot of fun to see that their wheels turning too.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. It's grid work is fun, I think, kind of fun to work on, and, you know, works on a lot of different of your skills and fine tuning, especially, like you said, kind of in the off season with winter coming up.
Yes. And endless possibilities. You can get as creative as you want. And I have a friend in Germany who will send me some ideas, and then I'll maybe set up what he sends me, and then I'll modify it to something else. And I'm like, what do you think about this? And we'll go back and forth. And he's like, oh my God, that was way too hard. And I'm like, well, we got a very active hind leg today. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Well, fun being creative with grid work. So you've answered most of my questions. I just kind of have a couple wrap-up questions for you. What would you say the hardest part of the sport is for you?
Oh, gosh. There's so many hard parts of the sport. It's showing up day to day when things are not going well. And if you kind of count the minutes that you're actually in the show ring, they're so few. And, managing just everything in the barn, from the soundness of the horses and trying to get three phases of training done all the time. I mean, it's you do kind of run out of hours in the day. So that's hard to navigate, but obviously people do it. We get it done. And then just the emotional side to it. I think, again, emotions are not our friend with the horses. And I think sometimes we get caught up doing, you know, with our own goals, and these horses could care less what our goals are that we have set for ourselves. It's remembering that whatever they do for us is a bonus, but they are first and foremost the priority of their health and happiness. And if our goals get set aside, then so be it. It's not the end of the world. So that's hard to remember sometimes when we get caught up in making this team or that team or having to run this for a qualification. And at the end of the day, it does matter, but it's not the end all be all.
No, yeah, that's a great point. Just because, yeah, we have goals we focus on and are hoping to achieve. But as we talked about earlier, sometimes things can go awry and back to the drawing board for a bit, or making adjustments so your horse stays happy. And yeah, that's a great point. Is there any advice you would give your younger self, and are there any regrets that come to mind?
Oh gosh, I feel like I was always a late bloomer, and I didn't run my first 5-star till I was 30, 31. So on one hand, I would have told myself to leave Louisiana earlier and maybe go be a working student for somebody and fast track my program. But on the other hand, I would not have met my current owner, and I would not have met all the people that support me in Louisiana and all my connections. And I feel like the advice is just keep going, and whether it makes sense to everyone else, it doesn't have to, it doesn't matter. Just keep going and keep doing it, because it's hard. And even when things don't go well, it's just, you got to reassess and keep moving forward. There's no other way.
Yeah, that's interesting. Kind of, you know, I think earlier you mentioned everything happens for a reason. And, you know, like you said, you met your owner staying in Louisiana and whatnot. And it's funny how things work out that way sometimes.
It is. That's it. Yeah, life happens for a reason. I feel like the people we meet, the horses that come into our life, and just the experiences we have, everything is all tied together, and life directs you where you're supposed to go.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Is there something that people don't know about that you could share? Sometimes people have a hidden talent or hobby they enjoy. I don't know if that rings true to you, and if not, that's fine, but.
Oh gosh, I'm such an open book. I feel like everyone knows everything about me if they take time to chat with me a little bit. But I love hiking. I love traveling. Hiking's a big thing for me. I really, on my radar, I really want to hike Mount Kilimanjaro. So I don't know if that will ever happen, but I did Machu Picchu and I loved that. Yeah, I've got to check off a few more hikes on my list.
Awesome. Yeah, it's fun to, you know, we love our horses and riding and training, but have some kind of different outlets or activities we like to enjoy as well.
Yes, and I think I love different experiences. So it could be anything. And if I haven't done it, I'm probably going to say, yeah, I'm in, I'll go. But it makes a big difference too when you have a break and when you are not just obsessing over these horses every single day. Coming back, it's like fresh eyes, and it makes everyone around you, the horses you work with, in a better space.
So what's next for you and your horses? I mean, I know the season might be winding down a bit, but any kind of short-term or long-term goals on the horizon?
Let's see, this year I kind of felt like this year started and finished in the same month almost, because I had a huge surgery a year ago August to like reconstruct my foot. And so that was a year recovery. So looking forward to next year, I would love to look towards the worlds at Aachen. We got our qualifier this weekend at Terra Nova, which was very exciting. And, beyond that, just making sure we have some other horses coming up in the pipeline. And, I don't want to miss the team event, cause I thrive for it. I love competing for the USA. So, we just need to, keep the barn full of happy, sound horses.
Thanks for listening to this week's conversation with Sydney Elliott. And a big thank you to the episode sponsor, US Rider. Learn more at usrider.org. You can listen to the Practical Horseman podcast on your favorite podcast player or on horseradionetwork.com. While you're there, be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Kathleen Landwehr, and you've been listening to the Practical Horseman podcast.